Proverbs chapter number 1. We're studying Proverbs on Wednesday nights, and I found this wonderful verse that we're going to speak about. So I'm just going to sit down here, if you'll just pan the camera around over here to get my beautiful picture right in. Oh, I forgot. Speaking of beautiful pictures, that just reminded me about something here. All right. So get my beautiful picture right there on the live stream for everyone to see. So I'm such a handsome and good-looking man. At least that's what my wife tells me anyhow. So you just keep your opinion to yourself and we'll be all right. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 1. Just hold your place there. We're going to read that in just a few minutes. We're going to start off by just asking a couple questions, okay? And so just be honest and answer to the best of your ability. And no answer is right and no answer is wrong. Just whatever lies within your heart, amen? So here we go. Question number 1. How many of all are all ready to go back to school? All right? How many of you say, I am not ready to start school? I'm not ready to start school. Amen. Jonathan raised his hand. He's not ready as well. Some of the teen girls aren't as either. How many would say this? Pastor Carol, I'll just be honest with you. I wish I never had to go back to school. How many would say that? All right, praise the Lord. Thank you for your honesty. I have a teacher back there that says, I'm glad, Pastor, I don't have to go back to school. We thank the Lord for that. Well, somebody tell me this. What is or was, if you're not in school yet, your favorite subject in school and why? Yes, Sean, speak loud. Amen. He said science because I get to learn how scientists use chemicals. Yes. Math, boy, you're brave. Yes. The Bible subject, oh, amen, praise God. We'll give him a little extra gift for that answer right there, amen. Anybody else? What's your favorite subject in school? Anybody? Yes. Bible class is your first subject. That's wonderful as well. You know what my favorite class was? It was, number one, choir. I couldn't sing very good, but I like choir because I got to stare at my girlfriend who sat right over here. We sat in like a semicircle. I could look over at her and just stare at her all the time. She was an alto and I was a baritone, so we could, you know, just look at each other and Google eyes all the time. Don't tell Miss Diana that. She doesn't know that, okay? And my second favorite class was history. I loved United States history. I didn't really like world history. As a matter of fact, I didn't do very good. I just barely passed it. But now I wish I would have learned it because all that world history is really helpful to you when you begin to study the history of the Bible. And so, but I didn't like that. Well, somebody tell me, what's your least favorite subject? Language arts. Yeah, English. Yes. Chemistry, yeah. I tell you what, I had that girl that I always stared at, she was very nice to me. And the only reason I passed chemistry is because I could copy her chemistry homework every day in choir, along with my algebra homework, amen. Because I didn't know, who knew that chemistry is all about math? That's all it is. It's about math and doing math formulas and compounds and formulas. And I said, dear God. No, I didn't say that because I wasn't saved. But I said, dear something, this is terrible. I didn't know chemistry was math. I hate math. I never would have took that. I would have took biology where you get to cut open frogs and crayfish and rats and cut them open and dissect them. That's cool. All right, what else? Somebody's not favorite subject. Yes. Writing. Yeah, writing wasn't my favorite. Ask Miss Gail that. She can tell you now when she tries to read my writing when I write her a note. She can't understand it. Yes. Math. That's right. I didn't like math either as well. What about Miss Annalise? What subject do you not like the most? You like them all? Do you have a favorite one? Recess? Lunch? Yeah, she likes them all, amen. Praise God, what a good little girl that is, amen. Well, I tell you what, my two least favorite subjects was, number one, was math. I deplored math. I hated math. I disliked math. And the second one, liking the math, what I already told you was English. If we could go through a day without math or English, high school might have been a pretty good place to be. But math and English just ruined it. And guess what? My math class, guess what it was? The first class of the day. You know what my English class was? The last class of the day. So I started bad and I ended bad, but choir was in the middle, amen. So praise the Lord for choir and for history, amen. Well, let me ask you this question as well. Have you already done your back-to-school shopping? Have you done your back-to-school shopping? What did you get? Pencil holders. Great. What else? What'd you guys get? With tacos on it. Praise God. I'd be hungry all day long if I had no. Is it a scratch and sniff so you could scratch it and wave it around and your fellow students be going, mmm, you smell Taco Bell? Yeah, where's that coming from? I don't know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I can remember back when I used to go back to school shopping. My mother had three children, me, my brother Scott, and my sister Barbara, and quite literally, we do all the shopping in just one day. Back in those days, guess what? You didn't have to buy pencils. You didn't have to buy paper. You didn't have to buy glue. You didn't have to buy anything because the school bought it for you. So literally, you just showed up at school and said, here I am. Where's my pencils? Where's my crayon? Where's my glue? And they just give it all to you. But you had to wear clothes, amen? So they didn't give you clothes. So once a year, all three of us would get in our station wagon that had that fake paneling on the side of it, you know, from like 1970 somewhere, and we would go shopping. You know where we went shopping at? A store. Maybe we should just turn this off. I don't know. That was called Sears and Roebuck. Later on, it just became Sears. Do we now plug this monitor? Maybe because I'm sitting down right. We'll give the fireworks person a minute to work on it. All right, I think we got it. Praise the Lord for that. And we go shopping at Sears and Roebuck. And so, because the pastor was a little on the chubby side, I had to wear chubby clothes, amen. My brother was skinny. He got to wear regular clothes. But the clothes that we bought were jeans. But they weren't like blue jeans because back then, guess what? You weren't allowed to wear blue jeans to school. That was a no-no. You'd be a rebel if you wore blue jeans to school. But they were jeans, and they were red, and they were green, and they were brown, and they're black. Turn this off. I'm gonna disconnect this for just a minute. Well, Jonathan's going to come and disconnect it.
You press the button and then you twist it and you pull it.
That's right. Press the button and twist and pull. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. And so I had to wear these jeans that were called tough skin jeans. You know why they're called tough skin? Because on the inside, it's my battery. Okay. Get this squared away. Because the problem, you know, I'm just going to have to put up with it. So the problem was that these tough skin jeans had a patch on the side. Pastor James, can you just switch me out your microphone, please?
Put a patch on the outside of the jeans. This one had on the inside of the jeans. And so it was rough and it sweat and they're just terrible. But anyhow, they lasted all year, school year. And so that's when we went. So we went and I got my tough skins and Scott got his tough skins. And I don't know what my sister got. She got some girl skins, I guess. They weren't very tough. And we went school shopping. You know, when I was growing up, we had three pairs of shoes. We had a pair of shoes that we wore to church. Only time we were allowed to wear them was on Sunday when we went to church. Can you imagine that? And then we had another pair of shoes that we wore to school every day. And then we had a pair of sneakers. Sneakers you weren't allowed to wear to school. You could wear them on gym day, the day you had gym class, but not every day. Can you imagine that? Not being able to wear sneakers to school. So I had three pairs of shoes, brand new shoes every year, and brand new clothes. I had five brand new pants, five brand new shirts, five brand new pair of underwear, but probably let's say seven brand new pair of underwear and about seven new pair of socks and five pants and five shirts, and every year we went shopping and we had a wonderful time shopping. And I really love doing that. And then I thought about this.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. All right. Well, what have you gotten? What have you gotten? Have you got any tough skin jeans? No? You got a new pair of shoes? William needs to throw some shoe polish on them shoes. What about you? What'd you get? All you got was books? You got new shoes? They're new shoes? You got new shoes on? No. Oh, sweet. Were they sneakers or shoes? Not sure. Maybe in between, huh? I have some that are kind of in between. They look like shoes, but they feel soft as sneakers are. And so, you know, we were headed back to school. We have a wonderful time as we think about heading back to school. But let me ask you this. What do you like the very best about school? The very best. William? Learning about God. That's a good answer. He has another gift for him. He's up to three already. What about somebody else? What do you like the very best about school? Yes. Good. Reading the Bible every day. What else? Anybody have something that maybe it's not spiritual? It's okay. Just because we're in church, we don't have to always have spiritual answers. Yes. The what? Routine, yes. Somebody said boys. Ramona said boys. That's what she liked best about school, boys. I don't know. Don't listen to Ramona. I think that's what Julie's itching her, telling her children when they get home. Don't listen to Ramona. Ramona don't know what she's talking about. Boys aren't nothing. Don't even worry about boys. What else? Somebody else. One more thing. What do you like best about school? Yes. Recess, yeah. How about adults? Think back to when you were in school. What did you like best about school? One on this side and one on the other side over here. Anybody, what did you like best about school? Raise your hand. Yes. Pardon me? Seeing your friends, that's right. That's the only good thing about going back to school after Labor Day was you get to see your friends. Miss K?
History.
What?
History,
yes. Michael?
Leaving.
Sleeping, yeah. Yeah. Oh, leaving, yes. Senior skip day, yeah. I tell you what I like the best, the last day, hey man. That was my favorite day, the last day of school. All right, so before we look at here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5, I just want to ask you this question and be honest with me. How many want to hear the pastor sing a back-to-school special before I bring the message for tonight? All right, almost everybody does. All right, so here we go. Let's start. Ready? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What? That's a back-to-school song, isn't it? If that's not a back-to-school song, I don't know what is. All right, let's take our Bibles and let's look here in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. And we're going to read in just one verse. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to read. One of you smart people that know how to read is going to read the verses for us. All right? Let's have William this time. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5. Amen. Good job. Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. I wonder if, Mr. Sean, would you pray for us today? Go ahead, Sean. Amen. Thank you. I forgot to tell you one more thing that I like very much about school, and that is picture day. Do you have picture day in school now? You have picture day? You guys have picture day?
Just when we hold the sign.
You hold the sign, it's the first day of school? Well, that's picture day, amen. So I like picture day too at school. And so I want to show you some of Pastor's picture school days, all right? Here's the first one, and this is, they don't make pictures like this anymore. These are like fancy pictures. Back when I was in K-4, here's Pastor, amen. Dressed for school, ready to go. And notice I have on a white shirt and a bow tie. And notice, guess what? No sneakers, a pair of shoes, amen. And then we transform ourselves until when I was 10. What grade do you think I was in 10th grade?
Four.
Close. Fifth grade. I was fifth grade because I went to school early because of where my birthday was. So here's Pastor back in fifth grade, amen. And listen, aren't them glasses cool? Listen, they're coming back in style now. That's new to style, right? I love picture day. You know what I like most about picture day? Back in the day when we had our picture taken, you get a comb.
I mean, they give you a comb, and you could comb your hair in a little mirror before you got your picture, but you can tell from mine that combing really didn't help that. And definitely right here, there was nothing there to comb, but we got that little comb, and we would carry it around in our pocket for weeks and weeks and weeks until we would fall on the playground. That little comb would just crack in two, and then we'd just throw it away. That was one of my favorite days. So here we have our scripture where the Bible really teaches us simply, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. The Bible says, get these words, the wise men will hear and increase learning. How many want to be wise? How many of you want to be wise? I didn't say wise guys. I said wise. How many want to be wise? The Bible teaches us this, that true knowledge and wisdom come from or flow from the fear of the Lord. Look down in verse number 7 of Proverbs chapter number 1. Who wants to read that can read pretty good? Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Okay, go ahead and read that. All right. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does the Bible mean when it says the fear of the Lord? What do you think? Anybody have any guesses? Sean? Pardon me? Exactly, that's what it means. You know, a lot of people your age think this, that when you talk about fearing the Lord, it's like you're fearing the monster that lives under your bed, or the one that hides in the closet, scratches at night when you're trying to go to sleep. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, amen? No, there's no such thing as that. Pardon me? Yeah, exactly. It's just your dog or your pet trying to get in your room, amen? That's what it is. But the Bible teaches us that true knowledge and wisdom flows or comes from the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It simply means this. That word fear means to have proper respect, that the creation shows the creator. You see, you and I are the creation because God has created us and fearfully and wonderfully made us. He is the creator because he is God. Someone said this, it's the proper respect that the honoring of God should bring. So we ought to respect God, give him honor, and give him glory. Tell me this, how many times have you ever heard an adult say this? You better show them some respect. You ever heard an adult say that? Yeah, this clan right here has heard it over here, amen. I've heard it a lot of times growing up. You just wait a couple of years, you get a couple years older, the rest of you will hear it when you get later on in your teenage years. But the idea is simply this, that we give God honor and respect. It means that God should be regarded with respect. It should be regarded with reverence and also awe. That we look at God and we're just struck by how gracious and good God is to you and I. Then it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the truth is simply this. We'll never be wise again until we fear the Lord. You'll never begin to be wise until you fear the Lord. The key to wisdom is having a right relationship with God. And that right relationship, of course, starts with your salvation and continues each and every day and living our life out for him. And we like to use that big word, sanctification. And that means just drawing closer to Jesus Christ. But I like what Solomon, that great king over Israel, declared in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So what did he say? Two things he said to do. First was what to do what? Starts with F. What is it? Fear God. Respect God. Think of God as a being reverenced. And then he said, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Listen, this is just not for you young people today. This is for every adult that's under the hearing of the preaching and teaching of God's word today. So as we think about going back to school, there are several things that I want to give you from my heart to your heart this evening. These things aren't in any special order. They're just in the order that God gave them to me as I wrote them down. I want to call these things some points to ponder. Some points to ponder. So I have about five or six of these points, and then we'll go to the house. Number one, you can read all the books in the world that you want to read, but if you don't read, and notice the next word, and apply the Bible to your life, you're never going to be wise. You might be wise in the eyes of your teacher. You might be wise according to the psychologist. You might be wise according to those that you bump up against, your classmates, but understand this. You will not be wise in the eyes of God if all you read is every other book and not the Bible and then apply it to your life. Yeah. Psalm 119, verse number 5, it says this. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In verse number 133, it says this. Order my steps in the word. When's the last time you prayed that? Order my steps in the word. The psalmist is saying, God, he said, I want you to direct me according to your word, according to your will, and according to your way. And then he said this, and let not sin have, let not iniquity have dominion over me. He said, I want you to direct my path. That path to be directed by God's word. And by doing that, he said, I'm not going to let sin reign over me. And then Psalm 119 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee. So you can read all the books in the world you want, but if you don't read and apply the Bible to your life, you'll never be wise. Well, number two, get up the first time your mom or dad tells you to get up. Get up the first time they bolt into your room and say, time to get up and go to school. You say, why do I have to do that? Because your life is going to be so much easier if you'll just listen to your parents. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we ought to obey our parents, and that includes when they say, William, it's time to get up out of bed. You have to jump up, run to the bathroom, brush your teeth, or get dressed first, then brush your teeth, run downstairs, and say, where's breakfast, Mommy? I'm excited about we're getting ready to go to school. No dilly-dallying. No saying, hit the snooze, Mom. Come back in 10 minutes. No. You get up the very first time. Why? Because your life will be so much easier. Your day will start off so much better if you'll just be obedient to your parents. But Colossians 3:20 goes a little bit farther than Ephesians 6:1 does. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. Get this now. In all things. Doesn't say things that you want to do, like sleeping 10 minutes longer. It says, in all things. And then it says, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So Paul tells the Ephesians, he said, children, obey your parents because it's right to do. And then he says, not only that, he takes it a step further. It says, obey everything your parents tell you to do. And he says, if you do that, it'll be well-pleasing to the Lord. How many of you want to be pleasing to the Lord or well-pleasing to the Lord? I know I do. So Miss Diana says, get up, David. You got to go to church and preach. I don't say, well, hit the snooze for 10 more minutes. Guess what? I get up, I get a shower, brush my teeth, get dressed, and head out the door, and I get to church, amen. Even if I don't want to, I still do, amen. Well, number three, your so-called friends will get you in trouble. Your so-called friends will get you in trouble. Just because you like them, and just because you're their best BFF or best MM, best male mate, whatever that is, doesn't mean they will not lead you wrong. Just because they give you an advice doesn't mean you have to receive it or apply it or use it if it's not biblical advice. Your best friends don't always have your best interest in mind. Proverbs 17:17 in the first part of that verse, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times. You know what a friend is? A friend is someone who wants you to, number one, obey God and obey your parents and follow the teachings of the Bible. That's what a best friend does. If they tell you anything other than that goes against your parents, your teachings here at church, or the Bible itself, listen, they're not really your friends, and don't listen to them.
That's right.
Number four, here we go. Do your homework without murmuring and complaining. Do your homework without murmuring and complaining. Listen, it's not your mom's fault that you have 2,200 spelling words with vocabulary that you have to learn in just 4 days. It's not her fault. I can promise you that. She probably wishes you didn't have to learn them because she knows the battle it's going to be while you try to learn them, while you do your history, while you do your English, while you do your science. Listen, don't take out your frustration on your parents or your older sisters. It's not their fault whatsoever. If you want to lay the fault where it's due, it's back at school because they gave you the homework, amen. If you don't like it, very lovingly and with great mercy and graciousness in your voice, go to your teacher and say, I don't think homework's very fair. I don't like doing it. But you do it anyhow because they told you to do it. But voice your opinion if you want to. It's not really going to do any good. You might even get on their bad side. But you know what? It'll make you feel better because you told them. But do it in the right manner, okay? But don't take it out on your family. It's not their fault. It's the school's fault, amen? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:31 reminds us this. Whatsoever therefore you eat or drink, or notice these words, or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. That includes homework without murmuring and complaining. You say, well, I don't really have homework. I'm homeschooled. Listen, your home homeschools homework, amen. So listen, you do without complaining. I never could understand when we homeschooled our two boys for about 7 or 8 years when they were littler before they went to junior high. And one of my boys, he would just burn right through his schoolwork, and he'd do a good job. He wasn't just like writing sloppy answers. He'd do a good job. He'd be done in a couple hours. The other one, he'd drag it on. He'd twiddle his thumb, play with his pencil, sharpen his crayons, sharpen his color pencils, sharpen his pencils again. And he would be like 3-4 hours. And my other brother, my other son's outside Lincoln. Come on, let's go. I want to play baseball. I'm not done yet. I got Bible left to do. Listen, just get it done. Do it to your very best ability. Do it without murmuring and without complaining. Number 5, here we go. Eat everything in your lunch without complaining. Eat everything in your lunch without complaining. You say, why you do that? Well, my mom used to say, there's starving kids in China. I would love to eat the lunch that I packed for you to take to school. You know what I used to say under my breath? Well, go ahead and send it to them because I don't think they'd like it either, amen. But here's the truth. Just be thankful for what you got. If you don't like bologna with onions and hot mustard sandwiches, again, very politely, with graciousness in your heart, and say, Mom, I don't know if you're really aware of this, but I really do not like bologna with onion and hot mustard sandwiches. I don't like radishes for vegetable in my lunchbox either. Do you think maybe we could move over to some other kind of sandwich? Just do it nicely. Don't murmur and don't complain. You know what? Probably one of your least favorite things that your mother or father has to do in the morning or the night before is figure out what they're going to put in your lunch. So just shut your trap and eat it and be thankful that you got something to eat, amen. Because you'll look around and there'll be some kids that really don't have very much to eat at all. Just be thankful for that. Number 6, and I think we're almost done. What you wear to school doesn't really matter as long as it's modest, clean, and neat. And what matters more than that is what's on the inside of your heart and not the outside clothes that we wear. Now understand this. I'm not saying to break the rules. If your school has rules for dress, you need to be obedient to them. I'm just saying if you don't get to wear the designer shirt or designer shoes, it doesn't really make a difference. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, when Samuel was looking to appoint a new king over the nation of Israel, he looked at Jesse's son Eliab and said, surely this must be the one. But God said, oh no, he's not the one. And he said this, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or look on his outside. Don't look how good looking he is, how his clothes are, or the height of his stature, how tall he is. Notice what he said, for I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know, there's nothing wrong with wearing nice clothes and designer clothes if your parents have the ability to purchase those for you, or your grandparents do, or there's nothing wrong with that. God's not against that. But what he's against is you dressing to impress the world when God's more impressed with your heart. So it doesn't really matter how you dress on the outside, as long as it's modest, neat, and clean, and conforms to your school standard and meets your parents' approval. That's what it matters. It's not really what you have. So as we close, I want to give the opportunity for a parent or two to give one point to ponder. So So from this side, is there some word of advice you can give these young people? Someone over here. One point to ponder very quickly before we close in prayer. Anybody over here? All right, Ed?
School doesn't last forever. Just do what you're supposed to do, get through it, and then go on what you want to do.
That's right. Listen, school doesn't last forever. It's only 12 years unless you go to college, but college is a whole different ball game than school is, amen? So listen, just do your very best, work hard, and get through it. Let me just throw this in there, too. Used to be a young man that came to our church, and he wasn't known to be a very good student. He wasn't a good student because he wasn't smart. He wasn't a good student because he never studied, never did his homework, never did his project, and so consequently he would fail. And I'd say, hey, we're going to do a Bible camp. You're going to go? He said, no, I got to go to summer school. I said, what? He said, yeah, I failed this and I failed that, and I got to go to summer school so I can go on to the next grade. I looked at him and I said, you must be stupid. He looked at me like, what are you talking about, Pastor? I said, as much as you hate school, you want to go to more school. I said, just do whatever you got to do to get by and then be able to have the whole summer off. You're stupid. You're not thinking right. After that, guess what? He didn't fail one class, amen. He barely passed, but he passed, amen. So he took the pastor's advice. All right, thank you. Somebody over here, a point to ponder. Yes. That's right. When you get older, you look back, and even if things don't go apparently the way you want them to go in high school or junior high, elementary school, but you look back with great fondness. I do at my school, and I was one that was bullied a lot when I was in high school. But setting all that aside, I can really think back and look about some of the best times of my life when I was in school. Amen. Anybody else? One more opportunity. Sandy, a resident retired teacher. That's good. Even if be open to learn new concepts and new ideas. Even if it's hard, just be open-minded enough to really want to do that. We'll get someone else over here. One more opportunity. Anybody? We're a point to ponder before we close in prayer tonight. Anybody else? Yes. That's right. That's a good point. Go to bed on time, right? Turn off your iPad, turn off your cell phone if you have one, and set the alarm clock. You know what you ought to do? Set your alarm clock for like 5 minutes before you know your mother comes in and wakes you up. And as soon as you hear that door open, you just jump out of the sheets and go, "Wah!" Try that someday, amen. One more, Miss Debbie, then we'll close. That's right. I never wanted to be a preacher. Now I are one, huh? Kind of thing. You never know what God's going to use from your past and your education. Use it for your future today. So after all that, if you can just take away one or two things, it would simply be this from this message tonight. A wise man will hear, and that we're hearing gives the idea of more than just in one ear and out the other ear. Gives the idea of hearing by applying knowledge, which becomes wisdom to our life. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And lastly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So let's be wise and fear the Lord during this school year. And we'll pray you have a great school year. So this time I'm going to ask all the children to come down here to the front. I'm going to ask all the parents to come behind their children right now. We're going to lay hands on the children. Some of you men and ladies come forward as well. And we're going to have a season of prayer. This evening, as we pray.